Would you read with me, please, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. It is wonderful to see so many who have gathered for the meeting tonight. And it is a great privilege to be able to speak to you from the Word of God and to tell you about the Lord Jesus, who means everything to us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we'll begin our reading at verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It is a pleasure to preach the gospel. There are men who over the years have preached the gospel at the Toronto Conference. God has blessed their preaching, and men and women have been saved. And in this year, it is our privilege to preach the same gospel. We would love to be able to preach the gospel more capably, but it is a great privilege. What we are doing tonight is not something new. It is not something that is unique to the people who are holding the convention in the building here at this weekend. We are tonight preaching the same gospel that has been preached down through the centuries. And there stands a long line, many honorable men in the number who have preached the gospel of Christ. One of the first and most noble of all the men that have preached this gospel is a man whose name you will know. He is the Apostle Paul. And I like what the apostle said. He said, we preach Christ crucified. Every man down through the centuries that has preached a biblical gospel has always preached about a Christ who was crucified. When Paul described the message of the gospel that he preached, he says, this is the gospel that we have declared unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The message that we preach is the message of a Christ who died, who was buried, who rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is my interest then tonight to take you to Calvary. This is the central place of all the ages. When the inspired writer is speaking about Calvary and about the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world to die at Calvary, he said, once in the climax of the ages hath he appeared to put away sin. This is the climax of everything that went before. And when eternal ages into the future will be rolling their course, from eternal ages we shall all be looking back from heaven to Calvary. And so Calvary is central. It is at Calvary that the destiny of every man or woman for heaven or for hell is eternally decided. I want you to see tonight in the story of two men that hang by the Lord Jesus, the story of two eternities. As simply as I can put it tonight, these two men, two thieves, represent for us the only possibilities for the eternal ages that are coming. From one cross there went a man to be with the Lord Jesus. From the other cross
a man died and descended to hell. And in those simple statements, I remind you tonight that the ultimate issue before every single individual in this meeting is this: heaven or hell for eternity. You have come to the meeting tonight, and the background of life for you is a life of slavery and frustration, a life of unwilling service to drugs or to drink. It may be in the quiet moments of the present meeting, as you look back at life, you assess it all to be a shambles, a disappointment, an emptiness. If somehow or other you were able to change it, you would do anything to change it. And to the present moment, you have found yourself helpless. There are some that have come to the meeting tonight, and you have come from a very empty and lonely life. You have come with a sense of loneliness that you find yourself incapable of changing. It may be you have come with concerns about your economic future, wondering, after all, if you're going to survive the demands of finances. You may be in the midst of family problems. You may be facing things that are perhaps tearing your heart. Could I tell you tonight, kindly, that whatever has been on your mind before you came to this meeting, the greatest possible matter for the present moment is, where will you spend eternity? If somehow or other we could give you a magic answer to resolve the problem of your loneliness, if we could somehow change the course of your life and end the frustration that you are experiencing, if somehow we could make available to you unlimited resources to meet your financial problems, if we could somehow or other answer successfully every problem that you have faced, are facing, or could ever face in this world, and that were all that we could offer to you tonight, one of these moments you would come to where these two men are. They are at the borderline of eternity. They are going out and they are never coming back. And the question is not now about the past of life or the present problems. The great issue is, where? Heaven, the Bible teaches. Hell, the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches nothing else between. Fifty years from tonight, let me be more conservative, 100 years from tonight, every person in this meeting will be in heaven. Or in hell. That thought to me is so overwhelming that there's nothing else that matters in the preaching of the gospel tonight. Clearly and simply, I want to tell you that the two preachers that are preaching tonight are interested in one thing. We would love to know that your soul will be in heaven for eternity. It is not the case that men live and die, and their body remaining behind is just like an animal's body, and their existence ends like an animal's existence ends. The Bible makes it very clear that you and I are creatures that are to be forever. You and I must be either in heaven or in hell. The Bible knows no alternative to that. No place in between. Here are two men that are representative. One man is bound for heaven by the time the story ends, and one man remains behind to die in his sins, to be in hell. What I find so significant tonight, and what I want to impress on you is this: that heaven or hell are decided at Calvary. Heaven or hell are not decided by where you go on Sunday. Heaven or hell are not decided by how you live Sunday to Saturday.
Whether you will be in heaven or in hell is decided solely at Calvary. One man in the story is a man who has turned to the Lord Jesus, and one man in the story is a man who did not turn to the Lord Jesus. And the ultimate issue just at the present moment is not how did they live their lives in the past, because neither one had anything to be very confident or proud about. But the question is this: what will they do with the Christ who died at Calvary? And the question that we are presenting to every soul in this meeting tonight is the question of what you will do with the Christ who died at Calvary. To find in Christ your soul's salvation, to find in His sacrifice all that you need with which to be fit for meeting God, to find in Christ salvation is to be assured of heaven, to acknowledge that Christ is a great teacher, to believe that He was an historic man, to accept the truths that He died at Calvary and rose from the dead on the third day, but to fail to personally trust Him for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of sins, is to have come to Calvary and to turn away to eternal darkness and gloom. Heaven or hell, where you will be forever, will be determined at Calvary. And we believe that as the gospel is preached tonight, you could make that determination tonight. You could come to Calvary tonight to receive the forgiveness of your sins, to know that your soul will be saved for eternity, to know that when you come to the borderline, whenever that moment may be, it will be to cross the line into heaven for eternity. I would hope tonight that there are those in this meeting who are willing to do some serious thinking in light of eternity. I read with interest a few weeks ago something of the interests and concerns of a man by the name of Al Davis. That name may mean something to some in the meeting tonight. He is a man who is known in the sports world, a man who is a successful owner of a football franchise, lives in California, and is a man who is eminently successful, a man with a strong drive and determination, who, when one of the men in his organization was stricken and in a hospital and dying, Al Davis went to his hospital bed and inspired that man with the reminder that Raiders don't die. You can't die. Raiders don't die. And he put just enough determination into that man to live that the man received strength and came through his crisis and lived. The same man, Al Davis, when his wife was stricken and given up by the doctors as hopeless, sat by her bedside and on every possible occasion when he could get her attention, called her by name and told her that the plane was waiting and the big game was on and we can't miss the plane. And he tried to just buoy up her spirit. There are those that watched that and said that he willed her to live. His sheer determination, they said, brought her back from death. When that man was being interviewed, he allowed something of his own thinking to be seen. He said, "But the thing that bothers me is this: I can control everything in my life, but I cannot control death." Oh, you may be brave in the face of it and do everything possible, but when it comes down to the final moment, here is something beyond your control and mine, something that every one of us must face, something that every one of us must recognize is an enemy over which we have no power or control. And when the moment comes, eternity, where? In the story of these two thieves, I want you to see tonight two examples. There is very clearly what draws these two men together. Both of these men were criminals.
But I want to speak to you tonight about something that is more deep and more to the heart of the problem of these two men. These two men did not become men with a problem before God when they broke the law. They did not become men with a problem when suddenly, somehow or other, through a mistake in their environment, through a mistake in their parents' teaching, through some error in judgment on their part, that they did something that was not right. Do you know what the problem with these two men was? These two men were sinners. And while I am speaking to those in the meeting tonight who I expect have not broken the law and would not have to die as lawbreakers, I am speaking to men and women tonight who have the very same problem that these two men did. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not a soul here tonight but is affected by the dread blight of sin. Every single individual in our meeting tonight, whether you live a good life, whether you have kept yourself or been kept by the training of others from the life that these men led, you and I stand by nature sinners in the sight of God. That makes it all the more amazing to me that one of these men, though a sinner, though a criminal, has gone to heaven. And I can tell you tonight very clearly that there's not a person who will ever be in heaven, but they will have faced the fact that like these two men, they are guilty before God. Like these two men, they are a sinner before God. No one will be in heaven who deserves to be there. No one in heaven will ever say that I lived a good life and therefore I am here. I have tried to do the best I can and therefore I am here. The ancient gospel that we preach is the gospel that declares that salvation is by grace. That not one man will ever deserve to be in heaven, and only those who are admittedly guilty will ever be there. When we declare tonight that when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We are presenting the truth that God addresses to every man. Man is guilty. Man is a sinner. Man is ungodly. And the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary is the only means by which man's need can be met for eternity. It is only those who are sinners that can claim the value of the sufferings of Christ. It is only those who know the value of the sufferings of Christ who will be in heaven for eternity. Two men, neither one of which deserve to be in heaven. One man dies in his sins. One man dying for his crimes dies forgiven. With a very precious word tonight, I'm so very thankful to God. My sins are forgiven. I can't recall my sins, every one, but I know that every one is forgiven. And thank God what we are preaching tonight is to declare to you the forgiveness of sins. To know that before God every sin is forgiven. Here's a man that is very conscious of his sin. Here is a man that as he begins to think of God, he recognizes the sinfulness of his sin. He recognizes his unholiness in the sight of God. Dost not thou fear God? Can you possibly be facing God, says this man? Can you possibly think of meeting with God and not be concerned about your sins? We indeed are dying for our crimes, and it is just what is happening to us. But here is a man that has never sinned, and in light of this man, I stand condemned in the presence, the spotlight of the holy presence of God. These two men represent for us tonight two effects. You see, what makes the difference in these two men is this. One man responded to Christ and one man did not. This man, he says, this man, a man that had touched the heart of a dying thief, this man is the man that we proclaim tonight in the message of the gospel. A man who loved as no other man has ever loved. Hanging there upon that cross, he cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is something that has reached the heart of a hardened criminal, melted by the love of Christ. For guilty man,
And could I tell you tonight that the man who died at Calvary loved guilty sinners, and I can tell you tonight that the man who died at Calvary loved you. The man who died at Calvary suffered willingly. He went to that cross in love for guilty men that he might bear sins in his own body on the tree. He went to give himself a sacrifice because there was no other way that man's sin could be removed. He went to die there to satisfy what God required so that men might be forgiven and fitted for the presence of God in heaven. And a man dying beside the Lord Jesus has his heart won to the Savior. And finally he turns to him and he says, Lord, you are the Messiah of the Old Testament. I am a guilty sinner. You are the one suffering for sins and coming eventually in your kingdom. Lord, remember me. The man puts his whole eternity in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Until a man or woman comes to know the value of the sufferings of Christ and takes for themselves the value of that sacrifice at Calvary, a person will never be in heaven. But the man or woman that realizes that when the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, he was dying to meet my need, and they take the value of the work of Christ personally. They receive the value of what Christ has done to put away their sins. They commit the whole matter of their salvation, their forgiveness, their eternal bliss in heaven to the man who died at Calvary. At that moment, every soul that trusts Christ is saved for eternity. Here is a man who cries out to the Lord Jesus. It may be the last moment. It certainly is not a process that saves him. At the last moment, in his desperation, he is committing himself to Christ. He has no other hope but the Christ who has died at Calvary. And that man has no other assurance, no other hope but the word of the Lord Jesus. Tell me now, when this man said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Tell me, where was that man going when he died? Tell me something else. Did he know where he was going? Tell me something else. How did he know where he would be for eternity? The Lord Jesus said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The man is going to be in paradise because the Lord Jesus keeps his word. Did the man know that he was going to be in paradise? Not a shadow of a doubt for him. How did he know? He knew because the Lord Jesus had told him. And the only way that I know tonight that I will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus is because the Word of God has told me. You say, did God give some special revelation that was different from anything written in the Bible and it was just personally for you? No. I'll tell you what I read from the Word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And I knew at that moment, my only hope for heaven was in the Christ who died at Calvary. My sins laid upon Him. And I was free of judgment. I was trusting Him, and the Word of God said, I have everlasting life. The Word of God and assurance for eternity. Very solemnly, I want to just remind you that there are two ends. Two men's legs are broken. Two men died in agony on those crosses. One man from his agony was in one moment released to paradise. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be going to heaven. Peace. Whatever the turmoil of life, peace. In one moment. Because of Calvary. Whatever his anguish, the other man died. And it may be that his relatives that were watching away off in the distance may have said, he's free from his suffering now. I want to tell you tonight that that man who died in intense suffering at Calvary, when he breathed his last on earth, entered eternal punishment beyond all that we could ever describe. The issues involve the ultimate of well-being and blessing and peace.
for the ultimate of eternal judgment and wrath for eternity.